if you would, be turning in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, away back in the Old Testament, and chapter 6. And we'll begin reading in just a moment from the 10th verse of this 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. As I'm sure you've noticed a number of times before now, first five books of the Old Testament all have what they're about in their titles. Not the entirety of all they're all about, but the main gist of much of what they're about. The book of Genesis. Of course, that word means beginning. And the book of Genesis talks about the beginning of everything material that we know anything about. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The book of Exodus, well, Exodus means a going forth, a going out, and it details the release by God's power, by God's miracle, by those 10 plagues of God's people from Egyptian bondage, through the wilderness all the way up to the cusp of Canaan land itself and the end of Moses' life. Leviticus comes from the word Levi, the tribe of Levi, which was the priestly tribe. And so much of the law for the people of God back in that day is there nestled in what would be perhaps one of the most difficult books in the entire Bible to really understand and navigate, this book of Leviticus. Because the law as it was, even without the scribal additions and abridgments of years later, was an impossible law to keep perfectly. Of course, that was his purpose, to show us our need for Christ, who would give his life for us and pay the price we couldn't pay by our own lives. But anyway, Leviticus, the priestly tribe, that law-filled book. The book of Numbers, well, at the beginning of Numbers, the end of Numbers, you have a census taken of the people of God, the Israelites of that day. And because of that, it's referred to as the book of Numbers, the numbering of the people. Well, we come to the book of Deuteronomy, which is the more difficult of the five words. It simply means a retelling or a reiterating of the law. And so much of what is in Exodus when the law is first given, in substance and principle in Leviticus as is laid forth, we have it repeated again in the book of Deuteronomy, primarily in a series of orations made by Moses at the end of his life, ranging from a loose retelling of the wonderful song of Moses, going back to Exodus 15, all the way to the last of what he will say before going up the lonely road up Mount Nebo, where he has his life come to a close. But in the beginning of this book of Deuteronomy, you'll find that Moses brings up something, which is a point that those of his day and the generations following would soon forget, and that generation after generation ever since has largely, sadly, forgotten. When we think of Thanksgiving, we think of thanking God for what we have. But also, it's good to look at the wide swath of history of times before us and times, if the Lord wills, beyond us, for which to give thanks. We're thankful for what we have, but we're also thankful that no matter what happens, God is there to help us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if that's the case, sooner or later, we are thankful God is there to help us. And looking back, we're so thankful for everything he's done in his work of provision and miracle and plan and preparation for us to be exactly where we are, enjoying the blessings we enjoy so many times, blessings which we inherited from his goodness, his grace, but also from the hard work of others who've gone before us. And that's what Moses brings up here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, as he writes beginning in verse number 10, saying, "So it shall be, When the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, large and beautiful cities, which you did not build, houses full of all good things, which you did not fill, hewn out wells, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And just in your mind, underscore those three words of verse 12, lest you forget. It's easy to think of the mechanics of what makes a bad situation bad. Well, it's his fault. It's their fault. Sometimes in severe cases, those of little faith will say it's God's fault. It's also easy when times are going well to forget to thank anybody, to just act as if it's our due. It's just the way it's supposed to be. Not realizing that we are a blessed people, a very blessed people. In this country, physically, in the church, spiritually, in our lives, in all respects, we are a very blessed people. And in so many cases, we are enjoying the fruits of the labors of others who've gone before us, who spent their lives and their life's blood in working and working and striving to bring about that for which we ourselves haven't worked. But oh, we enjoy the fruits of it. And the blessing of that is the fact of it. We all like free stuff. We all like to be given things. But the problem is, with those things we inherit, if we're not careful, lest you forget, if we're not careful, we take them for granted, not being truly thankful for what's gone on before us. Now, much of this same thing is repeated a little bit later. If your Bibles are still open, turn over to Joshua and chapter 24. The last chapter of this book of Joshua. And look at verse number 13. Now, he speaks all the way back up to verse 6 about being brought out of the land of Egypt, reminding us what happens in Exodus. But then in verse number 13, this is said, I have given you, this is God speaking, a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Now the same thing is said long before they went into the land of promise. And it's repeated after they're already there and a generation has come and largely gone. And you'll remember following Joshua. There was that generation that outlived him, but when that generation was gone, the people turned away from God, from right and from righteousness. And they lived to the tumultuous days of the judges, where each man did what was right in his own eyes. God from time to time had to raise up a judge to deliver the people from various enemies round about, to keep that nation intact so that one day Christ could come from Judah, just as the prophets would say. But all along the way, God's people are being reminded, you're enjoying the fruits and the labors of others in your own lives. It's, as some have said, the fact we rest on the shoulders of giants. We shouldn't curse the bridge that has brought us over. It's spoken about in so many ways, saying the same thing in every case. We should always be not just aware of, but thankful for what we have and why we have it. It could be as something as simple as the blessings we have living in this land we call the United States of America. All the things we enjoy every day, whether it's the when you travel across the country and you're on the interstate going at 70, 75, sometimes 80, 85 miles an hour legally. And think about the way things were years and years ago when you had little two-lane roads to go over. It was such a small, small thing. But there's so many things like that about the land we live in that describes blessings built upon the backs of those who did so much to provide us for what we have for which we did nothing. Now, that's not nearly as important as something else. We have blessings in the church built largely upon the work of others who've gone before us. This congregation, 10th, congregations all over the world of this last generation are built upon the work of those of generations before us. And yes, we owe it all to the grace of God and to His Word, but to the diligent work and faithfulness and determination of good men and good women who did so much to hand us what we now enjoy. Turn, if you would, to number 1025 in your song books. 1025, 1025. And this is exactly what this song is talking about. Our fathers who've gone before us and the God they served and the God we also serve ourselves, in large part because of the path they set before us. 1025. God of our fathers, whose almighty hand leads forth in beauty all the starry band of shining worlds in splendor through the skies. Our grateful songs before thy throne arise. Thy love divine hath led us in the past. In this free land, by thee our lot is cast. Be thou a ruler, guardian, guide, and stay. Thy word our law, thy path our chosen way. From war's alarms, from deadly pestilence, be thy strong arm our ever sure defense. Thy true religion in our hearts increase. Thy boundless goodness nourish us in peace. Refresh thy people on their toilsome way. Lead us from night to never-ending day. Fill all our lives with love and grace divine. And glory, Lord, and praise be ever thine. of course, the largest blessing we have received, that for which we have not worked, that we do not ever deserve, that which we can never truly pay back, is the gift of God's grace and the giving of His own Son to die for us. That truly is a work we didn't do. We receive it, we enjoy it, and sometimes if we're not careful, sadly we take it for granted. The fact that God has done all this in Christ for us. We sing songs about salvation, we talk about being saved. In this morning's lesson, we describe the Ethiopian man that was baptized, went on his way rejoicing because he had enjoyed now salvation. But do we realize what went into that salvation? Well, every Lord's Day, we partake of the Lord's Supper. It's not just a ritual. It's not just something we do of habit or by rote. It's something that we do on purpose to help us remember and be truly reflectful and thankful for what God in Christ has done for us. God wants us never to forget, lest you forget. The number one challenge of receiving something free, something you haven't worked for, is that you take it for granted and you forget the cost of it. Oh, the cost of salvation, God's own Son, the very life of Jesus Christ Himself in a torturous and shameful way, His blood shed for something He had never done, but for sins that we're all guilty of and owed our very life to pay for. He paid that debt. And we have received it. It's ours. We enjoy it. We should be ever thankful every day for it. So what do we do? Well, whether it's the gift of being in a free country or the joy of being in congregations of the Lord's people because of the good work of those who've gone before us, or the blessing of salvation itself and the gift of God's own Son, for which we did nothing to earn or merit, but God gave it to us freely on the cross. Yes, we need to be thankful. But it doesn't stop there. That's where it begins. Being thankful is where it all starts. What happens next is what's most important. You need to pay it forward. You need to pass it on. Whether it's to the next person or to the next family or to the next generation, you pass it forward. We've received so freely, we should be just as free in the giving of what we have and do our best to do for others going forward what's been done for us. One last song this evening. Turn to 635. 635. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name I come to you to share His love as He told me to. He said, "Freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in Thy name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. All power is given in Jesus' name, in earth and heaven, in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name I come to you to share his power as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. I've abbreviated this evening's lesson just a few minutes. We have some wonderful things planned for at the end of this service, which kind of goes along with what I've been talking about. I came in this evening through the back door, went into the kitchen area and out to the fellowship area, and here tables were set up, and I don't know who did it, but I appreciate it. Thank you. Tablecloths were there. I don't know who placed them there, but thank you very much. A beautiful table prepared. I don't know who did it, but I'm thankful for it. I didn't do anything, except I saw it, and a little bit later I'll enjoy it. And the story behind all of this evening is just that. Especially when you're enjoying and receiving something you've done nothing to work for, be grateful for it. Don't take it for granted. And do your best to pass on to someone else what you've received yourself. Whether it's a small gesture, or whether it's salvation itself, do your best to pass it on and make this world a better place by what they've received from your efforts, as you've been so blessed by the efforts of those who've gone before you. If you're here tonight and outside of Christ, don't leave the assembly in that condition. Come to him, obey the gospel. Or as a child of God, if you walked away and need to come back, don't wait, but come now and make things right. If you need to come, come now, as together we stand and sing.